Just in closing, Galatians chapter 6, please. Book of Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. Nice to be here. Nice to see everyone. And hear as well as I can. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1, please. This chapter begins with the word brethren. And it closes with the word brethren. And probably there's several times in the book that the brethren are mentioned. Wonderful. I love that name, brethren. I wasn't brought up to like that name. My mother was Baptist. She knew things about the brethren. I tell you that she would teach us that that's not right. That's not right. But, well, I wanted to find out, where do you get that from? When I found out it all came from the Bible, what the brethren were talking about, well, that just made all the difference. Boy, and I obeyed my mother. You can bet your... I obeyed her very... I knew better not to. But, man, what a difference it made. When say, that's my mother's word. She knows that women can preach as well as the man. That's my mother's idea. And one thing after another. But then we got to straighten out that, of course, I got to have most of it from Eddie Gould in the office. Not that he spoke to us in the office or preached to us, but it came out in conversations in his life. It makes all the difference in the world. Where does it come from? John the Baptist? No. It comes from the Word of God, the Word of the living God. And I know, we know we've passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Well, if a man be overtaken with a fault, did you ever make a slip up? Yeah, it can happen very easily. Going down the highway, boy, you can enter into a spin and you wonder what's going on. Happened, you could roll the vehicle. And that's the idea. It's like a fault. It happened unexpectedly. And it's to get off onto another path. Why? Yeah. John 14:6. I am the way. But you flipped over. And now you're on that other road. And it's going down. You didn't plan that. But that's it. Overtaken with a fault. The fault caused the problem. Now, overtaken with a fault. The idea first is... It comes as a surprise to me. Something comes up and it's a surprise to me. One way of looking at it, and the fault is there. The other way is, look at it, is that I'm doing something that's wrong. Absolutely wrong. One of the brethren walk in, turn the lights on, and catch me cold hand, red-handed. You see? I was overtaken by a fault on my own. Or I'm overtaken by someone that's has found me out. He wasn't looking for me. He was going to do something to the plumbing or something or other. And all of a sudden he finds me in doing something wrong. See? The fault. Now what do you do with him? The one that does the fault. You say excommunicate him? Well, in some cases you would. But not always. This one doesn't always call for excommunication. It doesn't call for taking his life. No. Overtaken with a fault? Ye which are spiritual. Ye which are spiritual. The spiritual man can judge anything. For he has the mind of Christ. Ah, now a spiritual man has a work to do. He's to see this man or woman restored. Restored. And you don't take and restore them with the whip. And with a terrible wording and arguing and throwing things out against them. He which are spiritual, and the spiritual man will know how to handle the matter. Kindly and tenderly, knowing his Savior and how the Savior treated him and brought him in when he was so far away in the depths of sin going down to everlasting punishment. And he can see in the Lord Jesus Christ loving kindness. Full of compassion. That's the spiritual man in the assembly. You're going to need lots of it. A compassion for the dear person. Yeah. I don't know much. Haven't been around much or anyone who's excommunicated. But I'll tell you, friends, it's a time when the love of Christ better shine in your life as you deal with the problem to see them restored. The spiritual man, he can see them win. And how is he to do this restoration work? Remember the restoration? The word yesterday was mending their nets. Same word. And I brought out, in different places where this word is found, restoring something to back to order again, and so on. Restore this person so that they'll be useful again to God. And in the assembly, bring them up to the bang, right back again. Thank God when that happens. It doesn't always happen. And you do this in the spirit of meekness. There's a danger with dealing with someone that has slipped away into fault to act like the big boss. And to act like, I would never do that. And of course you come over to the dear one as, I'm holier than thou art for sure. Sure, that's for certain. And for you to do that and shout at them and so on. No. The Apostle Paul says, in the spirit of meekness, in gentleness. The Lord Jesus Christ says, I am meek and lowly in heart. That's the way the Savior would do to it. Handle it high and kindly and tenderly. And then Paul says, considering yourselves. Do you know that if that could happen to that person, it could happen to me. It could happen to you. How would you like to be treated? How would you like it handled? Yes, I'd like to see it handled exactly the way the Lord Jesus Christ would handle it. As he said to the woman in John 8, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? No man, Lord. Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Why does he treat that woman like that? Yeah, he knows human nature so well. The disciples marveled at the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ knew mankind so well. Yes, sweet and tender the Lord Jesus Christ was. And so, consider yourself now. Here's a word that just means, it's used in the word overseer. See, consider, look at yourself. Go to the full mirror and look at yourself. And examine your own self about your heart's condition. By the way, what were you thinking about this morning? Did you ever get a bad thought come through your mind? And so on and so forth. We're sinners. And the sin nature is there. And it's possible that it does come. And it comes go. And who knows, it you put into action. We don't know where we might go or how we might end. But we want to keep close to the book. And close to the Lord Jesus Christ. So no fall would come into your life. Or my life. Remember, you got to consider yourself when you're dealing with this other person, lest you be tempted. You could say, maybe I could be tempted. I could be tempted. And don't say when you're tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil. Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And that youthful lust is there. That fleshly lust is there. All it needs is the sight of a bait. And that thing could take off like a mad fire in a haystack. Yes. That we might be very, very cautious. Get at the word of God. Let the word, take the word of God in. Muse and meditate upon it faithfully. And be tempted. Bury one another's burdens. Take a real interest in other people. That would be like making your light shine in a dark world. If you can take an interest in other people, bear ye one another's burden. Is there someone you can help? Now, I'm not going to boast about what I do, but I'll tell you, I live with a very, very good example of someone that's out helping other people with their burdens. Out all the time. We're moving out of this house that we get sold, and we're going to an apartment. No more grass to cut. No more eavesdrops to dig, a wife to dig the dirt out of. No more snow to shovel. No more leaves to rake. My wife is going to be free from all this. But I've been saying today, she'll be down doing the neighbor's yards before she rests at night. I mean, what about bearing one another's burdens? This word burden here, it means something very, very heavy. Very heavy has come in. And the person cannot handle it alone. It's a heavy weight. It's not physical. It's emotional. And I believe that's the same for James chapter 5. The one that's sick, call for the elders of the assembly and pray over him. An emotional illness. It comes from stress. Stress. And you get emotionally upset. And you can hardly live with yourself or anybody else. And so, who's going to bear one of those burdens? Bear one of those burdens? See? Now, I heard a lot about people losing their jobs. I've always had a job. The time I was 14. I always had a job, work to do. And I'm thankful for that. You know, but you see, there's men today, they have long seniority as well. But they're losing their jobs. They're coming home with a pink slip to their wife and the children. What do we do? We're not prepared for this. And it's just like a black cloud coming over, a heavy weight upon them. They don't know which way to look or how they're going to handle it. Or maybe a serious illness has been discovered in one of the members of the family, and it just squelches them down and puts them into a terrible state of pressure called stress. Can you help them? Can you help? I think you can. I think we could all be a little bit of help. You say, I don't know anybody in Portage that's lost their job. Portage is a wonderful place. You can always get work in Portage. Just come along, find out, and so on. Thank God. But you can make a matter of prayer. Make it a matter of prayer that if there's someone in Portage or Rose Isle, wherever it might be, that's suffering under pressure, I want to do something for them. I want to bear one another's burdens. Now you can say this is just for the assembly. Maybe so. But I'd say it reaches out to other people as well. Go out there. Help to raise up the load. Take a corner and raise the corner up for a time to help them out. Bury one of those burdens. You know what you're doing? You're so fulfilling the law of Christ. And you just keep going in Mark there and study Mark, and you'll find that that's what the Lord Jesus Christ spent his life doing. Lifting the corners. Lifting up the woman, the fever. Cleansing the leper right there in that early part of Mark. Go through the book and see it over, over, and over again. May God bless that, those little thoughts here now. It's time to close. Time to have supper. I've had a good